for the new year.
Good morning. Today I'm reading Psalms 40 through 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock. It gave me a firm place to stand. He put a song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him.
Thank you, Reagan, for reading the word to us this morning. Jonathan is with his cousins down in Kentucky, so yours truly is going to try to do his best. That's why I've been running around here like a chicken with my head cut off. But we've got some good songs this morning that we're going to play on video as we do. So if you would like to stand, please do so now. Let's lift our voices and hearts to the Lord in praise.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong God, you do not think you won't grow.
days of Elijah next.
Thank you.
Reese for that drum solo. Appreciate that. From the inside out. I'm caught in your grace, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame.
cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by
meditation, and it's more of an educational kind of thing. It's entitled Self-Examination. Starts out, "It is a curious fact about communion meditations. We are often told that we should examine ourselves so that we might partake of communion in a worthy manner. This comes directly from the scriptures. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." That's 1 Corinthians 11:28. This verse is frequently quoted, but seldom explained. Most of us are content with that. We want to let sleeping worms lie. This morning, let's look at looking at ourselves. Talking about recognition. The first thing we must do is this. We must recognize that all of us are sinners. This begins with the idea that I personally am a sinner, and therefore I need to do something about it. Sin separates us from God, and therefore requires some maintenance to get things back in working order. We also must recognize that everyone else is a sinner. We therefore have no privilege of making a comparison with someone else, as we, very easy for us to do, isn't it? In quotes, I'm a better man than so and so, right? We tend to do that as these weak humans that we are. Whether or not I am less of a sinner than you is completely irrelevant. Indeed, how can I condemn you when the scripture tells me that you are under no condemnation? Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. If you are in Christ Jesus and you are not condemned, you are not condemned. If Christ Jesus will not condemn you, who am I to make the accusation? Seriously, I have nothing. I have enough problems of my own, and I don't need to worry about your list of sins. Let each of us examine ourselves, but not others. Next section is the confession of our sins. Most of us can understand recognizing our own sins, but why confession? After all, God already knows all about it. I'm not delivering anything in the way of news to him. And besides, it hurts our pride to have to admit these sins, which, of course, is exactly the point. It hurts our pride and enhances our humility. One good reason for confession is that it tells some other person or persons that you are a sinner and you know it. It's a good antidote to the holier than thou. It helps them to know that you struggle with sin just like they do. Another reason is that confession helps you secure their assistance. We are the body, a united body, and if one of us has a problem with a particular sin, then the rest of us should be willing to help if we know about it. There is a particular instance where public confession is required. This is usually the case where it involves leadership of the church and the sin is quite serious. The principle here is that we do not sweep the dirt under the rug, for doing that just leaves more dirt under that rug. In the next to last section, the repentance. This is the follow-through to confession. Golfers understand the principle. Hitting the golf ball requires that you follow through correctly, or you will not hit the ball where you wanted it to go. The same is true with regard to sin. You can confess all day long, but if you do not repent and follow through, it's of no use. Simply ask forgiveness of those whom you might have offended, if possible. Then let your actions speak louder than your words. Change what you do to avoid sinning again. This may be a very repetitive process, another reason to seek the help of the church. And last but not least, the body and the blood. We are given the body and blood of Christ so that we might remember what he did for us. It should not be a mere memorial, but a call to action. So let's examine ourselves and then partake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day of life. We thank you so much for those that that got out today and started their week out with you. So we ask an extra blessing on them. We certainly ask you to be with those that are shut in, not able to get out, and those that are concerned about the virus. So we just lift all of them up to you just now. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. We, the church full of sinners, but you went to the cross anyway, Lord, for our past and present and future sins. And we just thank you for that sacrifice. We just pray that we will do a better job for you in this coming week. Lord, I ask you to bless these emblems as we partake just now. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
No way. No way. All right. Unbelievably, 2020 is over. It's behind us. It's in the past. And we are starting a brand new year. The Lord, in His great wisdom and His great love and mercy, has offered us a brand new year, 2021. But just a quick look at the past. Quick look, you know, as families, as individuals, as a church, as a community. A lot of stuff happened this past year. We experienced, many of us experienced hurt, loss. Many experienced joy, growth, new ministry experiences. I've just been so impressed with our church people here who have taken a leap of faith and tried new ministries, new ways to serve Christ, both here in the church, out where you work, in your communities, serving different individuals. It's just been absolutely amazing to watch some of you stretch yourselves this past year, and I personally want to say thank you for that. We have watched in our family, we've watched people come and go. We've had new cousins come into our life, new babies in our family, new marriages. We've experienced a little bit of loss and death just in the last month. But you never know what's going to happen in a given year. And 2020 certainly was not the year that many of us thought we were going to have when we celebrated on New Year's Eve 2019. Getting ready for 2020. And so I was thinking about that Thursday night as our family was celebrating the bringing in of the new year, the Casettos, the five of us, all five of us were home. We were all playing that famous game, Catan. I'm pleased to let you know we're all speaking to one another. We all still love one another. And most of us still like one another. And we brought in the new year. Jaden poured us all a little sparkling grape juice at midnight. And we brought in the new year that way. But like I said, a lot of anticipation now with the coming year. 2021, a lot of goals, a lot of plans, a lot of ideas. And certainly God and only God knows what's going to happen in the coming year. But my question this morning, and as I was preparing for this sermon, is just basically, what should we do with this new year? We do a lot of different things preparing for a new year. We get excited. And, you know, this year I did something a little, not different, I do pray. But I've been on my knees the last couple weeks, just in prayer, asking that God's will be done. You know, we've got a lot of ideas as a church leader, and we have church leaders here that have big ideas, big goals, big plans. If we don't, then we would sit and do nothing, and nobody would grow, and nobody would come to know Christ. So it's good to have goals, good to have ideas. But to listen to the still voice of God and to ask Him, what should I do with this coming year? What should we as a church do with this coming year that God has given us? We're not promised the end of 2021. I don't know. Hopefully, we'll see the end of the year. But we're not promised that. Some of us, we get this big idea. Should we make resolutions? Should we review the past year? What's happened, you know, January, February, March, April, May, go month by month and kind of review what's happened each month? Or should we just resign from doing anything? Some people just give up, throw their hands in the air, and you know what? I'm just going to play it by ear this year. You know, things just keep coming, and the world is crazy, and governments are going crazy, and I just don't know what's happening. I don't even know what God's doing in the world today. So I'm just going to throw my hands up in the air and just watch the show. And I don't believe that's what God wants us to do. In Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 13, the Apostle Paul tells us exactly three things that we should be doing every year. And I think there's no better time to focus on these things, these three things, than at the beginning of the year. New starts, new beginnings, new things happening. And Paul gives us this: "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love verse 14. I press on forward towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. First and foremost, we have been called to forget. Forget the past. And I'm not talking about completely forgetting. Don't get me wrong here. Because we learn from the past. That's why we take history classes in school. And we learn from the past. We learn from past mistakes. We learn from past failures. We learn from past accomplishments and past joys. But there are things in the past. And maybe a better word than saying forget the past would be forgive the past. There are things in the past that just hinders us from continuing on in our walk with Jesus. When I say forget the past, forget our past faults. Forget your past failures and misfortunes to the point where they hinder you from continuing on in ministry. You may have tried a ministry or a service opportunity in 2020, and it just didn't work out for you. And you've considered it a complete failure. Forgive yourself of that. Forgive yourself of the fact you didn't fail. Maybe you were just the wrong person at the wrong time. But you put yourself out there. And you allowed yourself to serve. And to ask, go before the throne of God and ask maybe for a new ministry or a new opportunity to serve him. Paul tells us in Philippians 3:13, forgetting what is behind. And it's very easy to get caught up, not just in a negative way, on what's behind, but to stay focused on, look what we did in 2020, and we're just going to ride that on into 2021 and think that that's all just going to keep on going, things aren't going to change. Life changes. The world changes, and never has there been a time in world history that the world hasn't changed faster than it is today. Day by day, week by week, year by year, our world is changing, and it's changing rapidly. In many different ways, with technology, with climate, with governments, with ideas, with science. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Our world is changing fast. And we can't ride on the past and think that's just going to continue on and on and on. Now, the message of Jesus Christ always remains the same. The gospel message will never change. That's one thing we can hold on to. But what God does in the world changes from period to period to period throughout world history. I want to encourage us to let the new year be a time of new beginnings in our life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to live in the past. You don't have to live in the past. Your past failures, your past faults, your past misfortunes that happened in this past year or the year before that, and you've just been riding on that. Whatever we did wrong last year is promised by God that it has been forgiven. Whatever mistakes you made, no matter what wrongs you committed on purpose or unintentionally, that has been forgiven. You are without excuse in serving your Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever wrongs was done to us last year needs to be forgiven. That's huge. When I say forgive the past, forget the past, God has made it so that we don't have to let the past dictate how we move forward in Christ. If there is forgiveness from 2020 that needs to take place today, you need to let that go in your heart. If you're going to move on in 2021 in your walk with God, forgiveness needs to take place, be it with an individual, with an organization, a church, a community, a workplace, whatever the case may be, that causes you to struggle with your walk with God and puts a hindrance there. Forgiveness needs to take place. Or you will never be able to enjoy what God has put in front of you to enjoy. I have a young lady in my family who, when she was probably maybe 3 years old, she was attacked by a goose. And she's had a lifetime of fear with birds. All because this goose, this silly goose, snuck up behind her, grabbed her by the leg, the back of the leg, and wouldn't let go. And the flapping wings and all that stuff has traumatized her, apparently, for the last 18 years. And there's been no forgiveness for that goose. Hindering this young lady to enjoy the birds of the air. I know James likes to go bird watching a lot. There's a lot of beauty and there's a lot of joy in bird watching. I do a lot of deer hunting and fishing, and I love going out and see. I went fishing a couple years ago, and I had a bald eagle catch a fish and just land literally 10 feet in front of me on the shore and sit down and have his lunch and eating the fish. And I just remember being able to watch that and say, wow, thank you, God, for that gift. This young lady in my family doesn't get to enjoy that because of the inability to forget the past. And I know that's a silly illustration. And we have fun in our family with it. But we can be that way with people, or we can be that way with God's world. When something doesn't go our way, or something hurts us, or someone hurts us, or a situation hurts us, and we can't let that go, or to the point that we can't enjoy what God's put right in front of us to enjoy. That family hurt me so bad, I just can't enjoy that family, or I can't enjoy that church, or I can't enjoy that community, and I just can't let it go. That's not on them. That's on us, with the inability to forgive. And it's only through the power of Jesus Christ that we have been forgiven, that we have that power to forgive as well. So Paul makes it very clear, if we're going to continue on in Christ and continue to do wonderful things in his name, Paul says, you know, I forget about the past. Forgive the past and allow God to show me new beautiful things today and in the future. Which brings us to number two. Paul tells us, press forward. Whatever you're going to do this coming year, press forward. We should press forward and let go of strongholds, hindrances, bad habits, whatever it is that causes us to stumble, whatever it is that gets in the way of growing in Jesus. And press forward. Go forward. Paul tells us in Philippians 3:13 in our text this morning, straining towards what is ahead. It's pointless to continue over and over again, like I just said, in the past. You would get nowhere in sports. We've had a fun year watching our son Reese play sports this year, in football and basketball, and before we know it, it'll be springtime, and hopefully they'll be playing baseball. And I know, you know, the Brains enjoy, you know, baseball and football and stuff with Grady, and others of us get to do that. And it's fun to watch. And these teams would get nowhere if they focus completely on yesterday's loss or yesterday's strikeout. As a batter, you would never hit a home run. You would never get on base if all you thought is, I'm going to strike out because I struck out yesterday. You would never get another yard in football if you continue to be afraid of the opposition and refuse to push forward and keep going backwards, backwards, backwards. And we do that in our spiritual walk. It's time to let go of things that hold you back in Jesus' name. You have the wonderful name of Jesus to call on. There is power just in his name to call on, to press forward in whatever you need to press forward in your marriage, in your walk with Christ, in your workplace, in a relationship with a friend, in a relationship with a child, whatever the case may be. It's time to let go of things that hold you back in Jesus' name. Because Romans 8:37, don't ever forget Romans 8:37. Write that one down if you need to. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's a huge statement. You are more than conquerors. through him who loved us. Because of the power of Jesus, you have the ability to conquer anything that gets in your way of serving Jesus Christ, of representing him here on planet Earth, to enhance his reputation here on planet Earth, pressing forward, always pressing forward, and live in Christ every day. Pause just for a second. Right now, even, ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit, what holds me back today? What is holding me back right now from going further into my relationship with Jesus Christ? What is holding me back right now in loving people the way Christ wants me to love people? What is holding me back right now in the ability to forgive as I have been forgiven? What is holding you back today and going further in your walk with Jesus? Is it fear? Is it, we like to call it bad habit? Let's call it what it is, sin. Is it a past relationship, a past experience, a past life circumstance that we can't let go of? And it's now allowing us to press forward with God? You watch God, he never goes backwards. He's always moving forward in everything we do. And if we will not go where he wants us to go, if we will not do what he calls us to do, if we will not worship him, he said, well, I'll have the rocks. The rocks will cry out and worship me. I will be worshiped with or without you. I will be holy with or without you. He is complete in himself. But boy, does he desire to have you with him. Boy, does he desire to have you go forward with him. And Paul is saying here, I am going to press forward no matter what. No matter what life circumstance has just got in my way. And Paul had some doozies. Just when things were going good, man, he'd encounter an accident or a storm. Or he'd encounter jail time, prison time in a Roman prison when he did nothing wrong other than represent the name of Jesus. And we think some of our life circumstances are huge, and they are to us. Paul says, I will not let anything hold me back from pushing forward into doing what I've been called to do. The third thing Paul says, after we've allowed ourselves the ability to forget and forgive the past for what it was, and we have made an effort and we have made a promise to God, I will press forward and I will keep moving with you. When you tell me we're moving, I will move. When you tell me we're stopping, I'll stop. When you tell me to speak, I'll speak. When you tell me to be silent, I'll be silent. When we've made that commitment with God, Paul says, now we focus on Christ. In everything we do, we will focus on Christ. No matter what it is you're doing, we should focus on Christ, letting him be the Lord in our hearts, in our homes, and in our habits. There's three big H's right there. If that'll help you remember. Christ is knocking on the door to be Lord of your heart, your home, and all your habits. What you do on a regular basis, on a daily basis, from the moment he rises you up out of bed. What is your focus going to be? Is it going to just be completely focused on all the thousand things you got to get done today? I promise you, you will not get done everything on your mental list that you think needs to get done today. It won't happen. Because throughout the day, you'll think of more things that need to be done. Are you focused on whatever sin you're involved in? Are you focused on forgiveness that needs to take place? Are you what is your focus on, like we just talked about, what holds us back? And in verse 14, Paul says, I press on toward the goal. Don't forget what the goal is. As we're pressing forward, as we're moving forward, Paul reminds us, I press on towards the goal. The goal is Jesus Christ. To see him in all of his glory. To be with him for all eternity. To sit at rest with him. and to worship the God the Father forever and ever, for all eternity. That is the goal. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, in his letter to young Timothy, a new preacher, in chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, you know, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. All those things. I fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. You can't do those three things without your focus being on Jesus Christ. Your focus can't be on anything else. When God says, I want your attention, I want your full attention. When I want your focus, I want all of your focus. Now, when we put our focus on Christ, other things are going to happen. Those things you want to change about yourself, we call those New Year's resolutions sometimes this time of year. Those things we want to change about our inside or outside or whatever we don't like about ourselves. When you're focused on Christ, all of a sudden you're going to be, kindness is going to come in. Joy is going to come into your life. Peace is going to come into your life. Patience is going to come into your life. A love, agape love, the ability to love people and to see people the way God sees people, is going to come into your life. Fighting the good fight, finishing the race, keeping the faith, is all about focusing on Christ. It's so easy to get distracted by things of this world. And we are distracted by so many different things right now. So many different things. You just turn on your cell phone, turn on the TV, turn on the news, talk to one another in a fellowship situation, and you just start, the conversation always goes to craziness in the world. Can you believe what this politician did? Can you believe what that preacher did? Can you believe what this coworker did? Can you believe what that guy did on the highway the other day on the news? And it's just so much craziness to be focused on. That's why God said in Isaiah, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I can't force any of you to do anything with your new year. And you all have different ideas of what you want to do with your new year. And I don't know all the things that I'm going to do this next year. Because I don't know if I'm going to have a full year. I hope I do with... Hope we get to continue to worship together. If not, I'll see you for eternity. But what I do know I'm going to forget the past. Forgive the past. Forgive the wrongs done by me and the things done to me. Press forward. Do everything in my power to press forward in Jesus Christ. Move forward in my walk with Him. And focus more on Christ. There's a lot of times we get frustrated because we get focused maybe on our marriage, because our spouse isn't doing what we think he or she should be doing, or they're not doing things, or we think they should be doing things. Our best friend or our relationship with somebody or a church brother or sister isn't who we think they should be. And just stay focused on that. Jesus says, say, focus on me. Keep your eyes on me. And the fruit of the Spirit is going to pour out of you. The Spirit of God will pour out of you. And you're going to have those things that you're chasing after through other means. So what to do with the new year? I just gave you three that I think Paul would have us do. Forget the past, press forward, focus on Christ. That's the goal. And I encourage you, hopefully by the end of 2021, we can all look at each other and say, you know what, we were able to do that. And because we were able to do that, man, God did some big things. God changed some lives. God changed some communities. People know Jesus Christ today because I was focused on Jesus and not on myself. Someone was loved. Somebody was forgiven. Because I was focused on Jesus and not on myself. That's the invitation this morning. I want to encourage each and every one of you. Most of you 9/10 of you have already come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like every other Sunday, if you haven't started that relationship, we open that invitation to you this morning to come forward and start a brand new year in a wonderful, loving relationship with Jesus. Give him your heart, give him your spirit, give him your everything, and allow him to be Lord of your life and forgive you. We will pray with you. We will get you baptized in his baptism, and we will help you walk anew in him. For the rest of us, in 2021, let's stay focused on Christ and pray and ask him, how are you moving in our world around us? And let us be a part of that. Let's stand and let's sing together.
Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Take time to be holy. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above.